The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now, about 8 days after Peter had acknowledged Jesus as the Christ of God, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face was changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days and told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. The glory of the Lord is a strange experience one takes from the Scriptures. The psalmist says that the glory of the Lord, everything starts shaking, everything starts falling apart. Everybody is nervous and afraid. Moses was nervous and afraid as he climbed the Mount of Sinai. God had called him up to talk to him personally. Now, that's got to be a scary event. Moses goes up the mountain. He comes down and he's got two tablets of stone with the words of the law written upon them. And his face is shining. Just because he's in the presence of God, his face shines. And everybody sees that he's been in the presence of God and that his face is shining, and there afraid and nervous. So they kind of back off until Moses calls them up and says, "No, you've got to hear this." And he tells them everything that had happened to him up on that mountain. And then he puts a veil on his face. And he stays veiled until he goes back in to talk with God, comes out, talks to the people, and then puts the veil back on. Just the mere presence in God has this shining effect on the face of one who sees. Now, Peter, James, and John go up the mountain with Jesus. A little background here, and thanks be to God, we're in Luke and not Matthew, at least for a little bit of a change. Luke says that Peter has just told Jesus that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You probably remember the story. Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter jumps right in there and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "You got it." And then Jesus says, "Oh, by the way, we're on our way to Jerusalem. And when we get to Jerusalem, they're going to hand me over to the authorities. They're going to whip me, and they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to die. And 3 days later, I'll rise from the dead." And Peter says, "Oh, no, you won't. We won't let you." 8 days later, they're walking along, and Jesus calls Peter and James and John and says, "Come up the mountain with me. Let's leave all this stuff behind and go up and spend some time in prayer." Whew. You know, everybody is relieved when they get to spend some time apart from all the problems that they've been facing all the time. You know how that goes. You know how relieved you are when you walk into a building after walking out in that heat. It's nice to be in cool again. And you want to stay there as long as you can. That doesn't mean that this sermon is going to last for an hour and a half. But when you're away from all that heat, and you're away from all those problems, and you're away from somebody telling you that he's going to Jerusalem to be crucified, you want to stay there. Now, while they're there, these two other guys show up, Moses and Elijah. Now, that's an important figure for this story, because Moses is the giver of the law. Elijah is the prophet par excellence. So we have two of the most famous people in the Old Testament. One who is meeting with the Lord to give the law to his people, and one who is the mouthpiece of God who never died. Now, we have in Scripture the fact that Moses died, but nobody ever found a tomb. Nobody ever found a burial place, and so a legend grew up that Moses hadn't died either. And Elijah didn't die because God took him up into heaven in that chariot. So these two Old Testament figures, who symbolize the bulk of the Old Testament, are there with Jesus. And what are they talking about? His crucifixion. Peter, James, and John are comfortable for the first time in a long time. And now they hear this conversation going on. They don't want to leave. So Peter says, "Let's build three tabernacles, three booths. And we're going to stay put on this mountain. And so are you, and so is Moses, and so is Elijah, and the six of us are just going to live here." Well, that doesn't work well, because Jesus takes them back down off the mountain into those same problems that they had before. Now, you and I are no different from Peter. You and I would prefer to have things stay exactly as they have always been. Or, more precisely, to stay exactly as we thought they had always been. And change is not an easy thing to take in. That was true of Peter. And so he longed with all his heart and mind and soul to stay where they were and never face change again. Now, in the past several months, we've been in the midst of constant change. We've been in the midst of trying to try out new things. We've had liturgies that you maybe not were accustomed to. We've done this and we've done that. We've changed the bulletins. We've done a lot of change. And you all have been gracious enough to stick with it. And I thank you. But change is still going on. Because the thing that you want to accomplish is the calling of a new rector for this parish. And that's going to mean change. So as you've become accustomed to change in the last several months, so you must be ready for change to come in the next several months. You see, it's always easy to think that the new rector ought to be very much like the last one, or the one before that, or the one before that. Whoever was rector when you came is the rector. So you have to set that aside. You have to come down from that mountain of thoughts and into the reality of the change that's going on around you, so that when the new rector arrives, you will be willing and ready to greet her or him as your new rector. You cannot hold on to what is past. You must look forward to what is to come. And as you do that, remember, it's not always going to be comfortable. But also remember that you are never out of the presence of God in the midst of all of those events. God is here with you. And you will grow because God is here with you. Grow in spirituality, you will grow in numbers, you will grow in unimaginable ministries, because God is here. Amen.